Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Good evening, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, always excited to be here for another Mind Shifting Monday. Thank you to all of us that are tuning in live right now via Blog Talk Radio, as well as through MindShiftTalkRadio.com. We encourage you guys to make sure you're here every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific for another Mind Shifting convo and topic. Before we get into this week's conversation, I do want to go ahead and just provide a brief recap, so I'll bring my co-host out to do that with me shortly. But for those of you that are new to Mind Shift Talk Radio, I do want to say welcome and let you know this is a safe place. Mind Shift Talk Radio is a show for you. It's for that individual that is looking to grow personally, professionally, financially. Maybe there needs to be some work on the spiritual side. Maybe we're interested in growing in terms of health and wellness. Any area of your life in which you can think of where there needs to be a mind shift, a paradigm shift for you to reach new levels and new heights of success, this show is for you. We talk about everything across the board. Some things more serious than others. Sometimes there's some humor, but there's always some fact in there. We ask that when you come to the show, you come with an open mind and an open perspective, because you may not necessarily agree with everything that is shared on this show, but we are sharing our own perspectives. We're sharing our own insights and sharing some tools and tips that we've learned along the way. And so we encourage you to be open to that. If for some reason you'd like to comment on the show, feel free to do that via the chat room. Also, you can call in at area code 347-989-0206. For those of you listening to the replay, we encourage you to connect with us. You can find us at facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. Also, you can go to mindshifttalkradio.com, hit the contact us link, and you can go ahead and connect with us there, send us an email, drop us a line, let us know your thoughts. And then also, last one, you can connect with us at Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening via Blog Talk, in your browser, you see the orange connect button or follow us button. You can go ahead and do that and make sure you're connected to us every week, find out about upcoming shows. And also, you can go to Mind Shift Talk Radio to learn more about me as well as my co-host, Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren, and also more about the guests that we have on the show. So I've said a mouthful without any further ado. I do want to go ahead and bring my sister out, my partner in success. She doesn't like me to say in crime. Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren. Happy Mind Shift Monday, sis.
I just need you to keep the crime part on the DL. Happy Mind Shift Monday to you, Stacey.
We talk about being transparent, so I'm just saying, you know.
Right. I let's talk about being free and on the other side of the bars. Thanks.
Well, you know, we've experienced our mind shift. We've had our mind shift. So.
Yes, I too can be free, incarcerated. Yes, yes.
Exactly. So, yes, ma'am, it is Monday. We're ready for another mind shifting combo. Yes, yeah. My favorite day of the week. And I'm excited. What's your week been like since we talked last week? I know, you know, the listeners are probably dying to hear what's going on with this, the Big Bone. So what's been going on in the last week?
Nothing.
I doubt it.
Working hard, hardly working.
Okay.
Nah, it's just been a long week.
Yeah,
trying to
right.
apply those things that we learned, and so I cannot have to work so hard for somebody else.
Yeah. It's funny, we get on here on Monday and we have our guests coming on here and we get all these nuggets and we take notes, some of which I'm looking at right now from last week's show. And then we're fired up and we're motivated on Tuesday. Still feeling it Wednesday morning, start to feel it go down a little bit on Thursday. Friday, we're looking forward to the weekend. Saturday, we're probably pooped. And then we get excited again because Monday comes back and we have Mind Shift again. So We're just like everyone else. You know, we have our highs and we have our lows. But, you know, I think the blessing and the benefit of listening to these shows and being a part of this show every week is the fact that we get to be connected and we get to stay plugged in and we get fired up every week. And it's almost like going to church. You know, some people go to church on Sunday. They're excited for about a day or two and then they fall off. And I think the key is, and the goal should be, to be able to maintain that high consistently and to be able to energize yourself and get motivated and get encouraged based on the things that you've heard before. We've talked about this all the time with this show, sis, where people will listen to this show every week. People will get the self-help books. They'll go to the seminars, join the webinars, go to all the free events. And at the end of the day, you're getting all of this information, but how are you actually applying it to your life is the question.
Right.
And so that's what we encourage you to do at Mind Shift Talk Radio, is to be open to the mind shift, to the paradigm shift, but then also to take that step, that next step, to actually implement the tools and the tips that you hear on this show. And that's exactly what we encourage you to do tonight when we introduce tonight's guest to you. But before we do that, like I said, we do like to provide a brief recap. If for some reason you were naughty and you were not here last week, shame on you.
That's what replays are for.
That's what replays are for. And we love our mind shifters. So we make sure that we keep them available for you at mindshift.com. You can click on the archives list, archives link, actually. And last week, we were blessed by our sister again, that's what I call her, Sister Sherry Darden.
Yes,
she's also known as the business plan lady. We consider her a business plan expert because she truly is. But Miss Sherry Darden, business owner and business coach herself, was here. And she
gave us a stripper. She earned a new title, stripper, after last week's show.
See, she's going to call in now. She's going to say some stuff. But yes, she was here. And she was talking about her t-shirt. You know, been there, done that, and keep your shirt.
Yeah.
So it was one of those shows where she really talked to us about, you know, overcoming fears that hold us back from moving forward in our goals in terms of opening and starting our own businesses. And then she also talked about some of the common pitfalls that many people will experience through the process of becoming an entrepreneur and starting a new business. And so she was just really sharing her insights, sharing some of the experiences she's had personally, as well as things that she's seen with her clients while she's coaching them in her business coaching. And she was sharing these tools to make sure that we don't necessarily have to make the same mistakes that many other people do. So I don't want to go into what those tips and those tools were that she provided. You'll have to go and listen to that show yourself. But you can listen to that at Mindshift Talk Radio. And also you can connect with her at thebusinessplanlady.com. She offers great information on her website. She has newsletters. She's starting her blog. She has a new series coming out for small business owners. So you want to make sure that you connect with Sherry Darden, the business plan lady. Am I forgetting anything from last week, sis?
No, you did a great job at covering it all.
Thank you, thank you.
You
rock. I try every now and again, you know. I have my tea. I got my tea here. I have
I got my drink and my two-step. Go ahead.
I've got my tea. I'm in the right zone. It's Mind Shift Monday. I have my people out there listening. We're all connected, so I'm fired up. So I'm going to keep on flowing, guys. So we're going to go ahead and introduce you to tonight's guest. For those of you that are just tuning in, welcome to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and the awesome Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren. And tonight's guest is none other than author, speaker, coach, international extraordinaire himself, Mr. Kamanzi Constable, is here. And he will be here. We need to have our applause. Yeah, I got to really get that going, get the little sound machine going on for the show. We'll do that next time. Sorry, Kamanzi. But this week, he is going to be here discussing his newest book coming out May 1st, actually. And Kamanzi is a man on a mission. That's what I described him as when I was reading his bio and I was reading over his book. I said, okay, this is the man with the mission. And he has the mission to empower others to live that full and abundant life that we all deserve to live. Like I said, he's an author. He's a self-published author of 2 e-books. They sold over 80,000 copies. And as a life coach, he helps people to not only determine their dreams, but he helps his clients to turn their dreams into a reality. So tonight he's going to be here discussing the latest book. As I said, I do encourage you guys to go ahead and grab a pen, a piece of paper. As I've said to you moms out there, grab a crayon if you need to. Grab something to write on because you're going to want to take notes as he shares some incredible steps tonight that's going to help us all live our life on the next level. So without any further ado, I want to introduce you to tonight's special guest speaker, Mr. Kamanzi Constable. Welcome to Mindshift Talk Radio, Kamanzi.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Stacey and Juanita. I feel like I should go run a marathon or something now. I'm excited.
You should
That's
do
you
that.
And Stacey. I'll be at the finish line cheering y'all on and giving you some water.
Well, I'm down. I'll join you, Kamanzi.
And just so you know, Juanita, I didn't hear anything about crime, so you got a witness.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, whatever. already trying to get points. Look at that. But, yes, welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you here. We're definitely excited to hear more about your book. And I know we've had some other authors on here. We've been talking a lot lately about business. And so it's nice and refreshing to go back to more of a personal development side. We know that even for our business success, it does start here. So I'm really excited about starting or discussing this book, Are You Living or Existing? 9 Steps to Change Your Life. That's just the color of the book, the green, that lime green color is eye-catching. And then just the way it stands out in those big bold letters, that living in capital letters, and then you have existing in lowercase letters. I thought that was pretty cool. I caught on to it. I'm not sure if Juanita caught on to that, but I got it. So I want to go ahead and discuss this book. So, Kamanzi, if you could first, before I know you're going to break it down and dissect it for us a little bit, make sure our listeners kind of get an idea of what they would expect in this book and make sure they run out to get this book as it comes out on May 1st. But can you tell us first, what inspired you to write this book?
Absolutely. Really, I tell people, that's how long did it take to write the book? That's like the first question I get, and I say, 3 months. I'm like, 3 months? I'm like, yeah, it took 3 months to write, but it was things that I've been thinking about for the last 15 years. And my story really starts about 12 years ago. I was living a life that I was miserable in. I was at a job that I hated, and there were some different things that I wanted to change in my life with weight issues and where I lived. And, you know, those are the three main ones. But I never did anything about it. And I would always talk about how I want to do this and I want to do that, and I never did anything about it. And for 12 years, I delivered bread for a living. I'd get up at midnight, deliver bread, come home, spend a few hours with the family, and get ready for bed again and start at midnight. And when I was 19 years old, when I started, it was great because it was good money. I was working outside, just different scenery. And at 19, you could pretty much do a lot of jobs and you're fine. But then as I got married and started having kids, and they have karate and recitals and all the good stuff that kids have, it was getting hard to get 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night and then go to work. And so that caught up with me pretty quickly. And so 3 years ago, I said, you know, this is just too much. I got to do something else. But when I sat down and thought about all the things I want to do, all I could hear in my mind was that you don't have a college degree, you don't have any special skills, so what are you going to do? And that's what held me back from doing anything, was all those doubts and those fears. And I listened to them. And it was a year later when things at this job really started getting bad, and I went beyond being miserable at work to worrying about, am I going to be able to provide for my family? Is this thing still going to even be here? And so I had to do something about it. And so I was all fired up. I told everybody I'm going to do this and that. I'm changing. And when I thought about what I wanted to do, the thing that popped in my mind is, I guess it didn't really pop in my mind. I was watching TV, and I was watching a show that involved an event planner. And I saw that, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be an event planner. I could see the person had the clipboard. They had the Bluetooth. They're bossing everybody around. Like, they were the big shot. And so I wanted to be the big shot. So the next day, I went out. I bought the Bluetooth. I bought the clipboard, and I was good to go. I'm going to be an event planner, right? So I got a chance to put this in a test right away. My sister was getting married, and she asked me to plan her wedding. And I know people are listening out there are cringing, and yes, you should be cringing. So I got this clipboard. I got this Bluetooth. I'm an event planner. I'm telling everybody I'm an event planner. I'm telling everybody what to do. And day one of event planning was a little bit of a rocky day because I had no clue what I was doing. And so I'm interacting with vendors and looking at places and my sister and other family members, and pretty much it was a joke. Nobody listened to me. Other family members thought they were the event planner for this wedding, and it was a disaster. And I quickly realized that the Bluetooth and the clipboard didn't really mean anything in event planning. It just looked good on TV. So not because that was a failure, but just because I hadn't sat down and I hadn't really thought about what my dreams were and what could I do and what did I even want to do. And so it was back to the drawing board. Now, luckily, my sister got somebody else who did a really good job, so my family phoned me. So I'm still here to fight another day. But it was back to the drawing board. And during this time, there was a lot of things happening at work. The company I worked for got bought out by a larger company, and it was all about profits and shareholders, and it was this large corporation, so it was all about maximizing profits. And the way that they did that was they started cutting back on a lot of things. And so it was the little guys on the bottom that were the ones getting squeezed the most. And so I was frustrated. I wanted to vent, but I didn't want to talk to another coworker or anything like that where they would go snitch to the boss or something like that. So I started simply just journaling what was going on. And then as I journaled, I rediscovered a love that I had a long time ago, and that was a love for writing. But as I got older, I told myself, you're never really going to make money on writing. So I kind of let that go. But during this time when I'm just venting in this journal, I rediscovered that love for writing. And then I started a small blog because blogs were pretty cool 3 years ago or 2 years ago. So I started blogging. And this blog had no viewers, but I really enjoyed doing it. And after about a couple weeks of blogging and journaling and just letting it all out, I realized that, I had a lot of material here, but I didn't think anything of it. And it was exactly 1 week later that I ran across the story of a woman named Amanda Hawking in USA Today. And she was a 19-year-old CNA from Minnesota. I'm from Wisconsin. She's from Minnesota, so she's a Midwestern neighbor. And she had written 17 novels by the time she was 19 years old. So she loved to write, yeah. And she took them to agents and publishers and editors, and she wanted to get her work published. But they all said, no, your writing's not that good. And she got rejected pretty much by everybody. And it was a long list of people. So she decided to self-publish on Amazon and social media and just see what happened. She put three of her books on there initially, and she just simply tweeted out to some friends what she was doing. And after the first week, she had sold 156 copies. And if anybody's listening to this and they self-published, they know that selling 456 copies is a pretty incredible thing to do in the world of self-publishing. And after a month, she had sold 10,000 copies, and she made more than she ever made in her life. She was able to quit her job as a CNA, and she was just able to focus on this. And some book reviewers decided to review the books. The writing must have been good because people started talking about it. And after an 8-month period, she had sold 1 million copies of her 3 ebooks. And I was reading her story in USA Today, and I was just inspired. And all those publishers and agents that I rejected her, all of a sudden, now they all wanted to publish her books. And she did end up signing a deal with Random House for $2.5 million. But I saw her story, and I thought, man, if Amanda could sell a million copies, why couldn't I take this collection of my thoughts here? So I published it, and why couldn't I sell, like, 10,000 copies? It doesn't have to be a million. Why couldn't it be 10,000 copies? 10,000 copies at $3.50 a copy, that's $35,000. That would definitely be enough money to quit this job that I hated and start over and try to do something. And so that's what I did. I got excited. I figured out how much money it would take to turn my thoughts into an ebook. I started working overtime because at that point, I wasn't living paycheck to paycheck. I was like one step lower than that. So it was like paycheck. I don't. It was a really rough time financially. There was a lot of miracle checks floating out there. So I had to work overtime to make this, to get this to happen. And I can remember the day that I hit that number. It was just like, you know, I started crying because it was like a dream come true. So I paid somebody to get the website up and have this book done. And at that point, I wasn't active at all on social media. But I'm like, you know what, even though I really don't like social media, I'm going to get on there so I can promote this book like Amanda did. So I joined social media, and that's all I did on social media all day long was promote this book. I wrote this blog. I was writing like a blog post every day just about the book, and I was writing these posts that I thought were brilliant, these posts that were like 21 reasons why you should buy my book, or how buying my book is going to save your life, and just some crazy claims. And so I'm telling everybody I know, hey man, this book's coming out, get the book. Or I'd talk to people at the grocery stores and the mailman and people at Walgreens and just wherever I went, I let them know this book was coming out. And I was excited because a bunch of people said, hey, when that book comes out, I'm buying it. And I thought, man, I'm going to be rich like this first month. And I was all the ways I was going to quit, you know, I had just elaborate ways that I was going to quit. And even the first blog post that I wrote on my blog was called The Last Day of a Job You Hate. And it was just like every fantasy I had about quitting was in that blog post. So I'm excited. And the day that the book, the first self-published book came out, I ran home, I logged on to Amazon, and I was going to see those 100 sales from those friends and family because so many people are going to buy it. And can you guess how many I saw, ladies?
2, 3.
0. No
one. Wow.
And I was confused. I thought, you know what? Maybe Amazon just doesn't update their results in real time. So I Googled that. And I'm like, what's going on here? So I got on social media. And I'm like, hey, guys, you said you're going to buy the book. And I started calling people, and I'm like, hey, you know, the book's all right. And everybody's that I called, like, yeah, I'll get to it eventually. And as the day went on, the number kept being 0. And I'm like, what? And so my posts on social media were getting angrier and angrier as the day went on. And by the other day, I was on social media calling people. I'm like, you guys are fake. You're a bunch of liars. And when it was all said and done, I had one friend on Facebook, which was my wife, and I think she was a little nervous. And I had 0 followers on Twitter, and it was a disaster. And I said, forget this internet stuff, forget this self-publishing stuff. You know, I didn't even touch the computer for 2 weeks because I was so bitter. I'm like, you know what? I make good money. I'm gonna do this the rest of my life and just retire and just die doing this. And I was just bitter. And during that 2-week period is really when I discovered what my dream was. And it was my wife who said, hey, stop being a baby. And it was some friends that said, you know what, you got to really figure this out. You got to put the effort into it. And then it was a random 19-year-old kid who emailed me and said, hey, I read one of your blog posts, and it inspired me. Tomorrow I'm going to work, and I'm going to quit my job. And I said, hey, man, I don't know whose blog you're reading, But my blog never tells you to quit your job, so don't do that. But we got on the phone and we talked, and even though I wasn't a life coach or anything like that, now I wanted to help him, and we just kind of fumbled through the process together of figuring out what it is he wanted to do, and he ends up getting a great job. And I always talk to people out there, like, how's he doing? And he's doing great. He's still in that job. And, you know, he sent me that that email talking about his first paycheck and his experience. And I thought, man, this is, you know, I helped him get there. I helped him get there. Even though I didn't know what I was doing, we worked through it together and helped him get there. And I thought, this is really what my dream is. So even if I don't sell any more of my books, I just want to help people realize that they don't have to settle in life, that they got to stop making excuses, they got to stop listening to those doubts and fears, and more than that, that life is short. You only have a very limited amount of time on this earth. You got to take a. And even though I hadn't quite figured it out myself, I started writing about it, and I started writing about my experiences, and people connected with the writing. Then there were some different strategy things that I did as far as getting guest posting to get traffic to my website, and people opening up my network of people online, just some different strategy things that you do. And over time, a few people bought the book, and they shared it on social media, kind of how they did for Amanda. And they said, hey, this book by this guy with a weird name, it doesn't really suck. Check it out. And they shared it, and over time, books started selling.
And so that was your first book?
That was my first book. I then self-published a second book 4 months later. And that book, actually, the first month it came out, it actually sold 5,000 copies. But it was a little bit different because I had done the research, and I understood the strategy side of things now. And I understood how to get out there and connect with people, and really what online marketing and social media marketing was all about. And as you said, you know, the rest is history. Over time, the books sold and people shared, and they kept selling. And both books now have sold 80,000 copies. And that second self-published book was the one that was picked up by a publisher. You know, when I had sold around 30,000 books, then I had gotten several offers from publishers wanting to publish it. And I never dreamed of having a published book. You know, that's just never anything that was on my mind. But
Well, we want to make sure, I mean, you had great success with those two books, and we want to make sure that people are running out to get this third book. So I really want us to be able to go into discussing, you know, some of the things that you're going to share in this third book, so we can make sure everyone goes and gets this one. But before we do that, just really quick, just want to let everyone know you're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita Sister Big Bones. And you're being able to tune in tonight. I'm, like, getting tongue-tied right now. I'm all excited. But you're listening to the story of tonight's special guest, author, life coach, Mr. Kamanzi Constable. And so Kamanzi is here to discuss his newest book, Are You Living or Existing? 9 Steps to Change Your Life. And so, Kamanzi, you've pretty much told us what got you inspired. You know, you're at that place most people can relate to, considered their rock bottom. And then you have these experiences. You have your revelations. You have some success, maybe not the level of success you would like to achieve at certain points. You have some challenges. You have some obstacles between these two books. But still, in the end, you were successful to be able to publish over 80,000 copies. I mean, that's remarkable. And so, you know, what do you say now? What are we going to get out of this book, you know, that's going to help other people that maybe are at their rock bottom? Maybe there's some people that are just existing right now. And now you can hear the passion and the excitement in your voice. Truly, you're living. We want to make sure we provide those tools for our listeners to make sure that they're living as well as on the next level. So I want to just kind of go into the book now. And if we could just briefly, I know we don't have a lot of time with you tonight, unfortunately, but we do have a few minutes. I'd like for us to just kind of go into each chapter, and if you can kind of just give us a summary or a synopsis of what we can expect to find in each chapter. Can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I was figuring this out, I sat down and thought, all right, I know what my dream is. How am I going to practically do this? And I'd read a lot of self-help stuff, and I just felt like it didn't really connect with me, or it was over my head, or it was coming from somebody that really couldn't relate to me, the guy that's living paycheck to paycheck. You know, how could I do this? And that's what this book was the plan that I used. And the 9 steps are, the first one is identifying your dreams. If you're going to know where you're going, you got to know what that dream is. And so that one, it's just going to involve some prayer, meditation, talking over with friends, but it's not going to be something that you're going to do overnight. And that's the thing that I stress is take some time, and it might even take trying a few things and realizing those aren't it, kind of like I did with event planning. Then once you identify your dreams, step two is getting fit. And in that step, I talk about getting fit mentally, physically, and emotionally. And physical fitness is good because it gives you discipline, it gives you more energy, it gets you on routine, and it helps your mind and your body in so many ways. And then getting fit mentally, emotionally, it's just about getting those emotions and thoughts and stuff in check that sometimes derail us because, you know, we could hit a bump in the road and those emotions are going to tell us to give up, quit, this is not what you're supposed to do. So getting fit is really just about getting your body and your mind prepared for this process. And that leads into step three, which is getting rid of the negative. This could be negative habits. This could be negative influence. This could be negative people. And in this chapter, I really talk about a friend of mine who I've had since I was young. And as I was starting this process and chasing my dreams, and he was really negative, and he told me why it wouldn't work and told me everything I was doing was dumb. And for me to really move forward, I just, unfortunately, I had to cut him off from my life because he was holding me back. And so for you, it might not be that extreme. It might just be something as simple as watching too much TV or playing too many games on Facebook or whatever it is in your life that's really holding you back from taking action. You know, you might not need to get rid of it forever, but just for this time-focused time period, just put it to the side so you can really move forward. And then step four is fixing your money, because no matter what your dreams are, they're going to involve some sort of money. But really, it's about getting a good financial foundation, eliminating debt, which is, I mean, if you eliminate debt from your life, your life's going to go so much smoother. You're not going to need to make as much money. You're going to be able to start saving and really leaving a legacy. So step four is fixing your money, and there's books upon how to really fix your money. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of good resources out there already. But then step five is nail down your plans, and this is when you kind of put the plan in place. All right, how am I practically going to do this? So I worked on some preliminary stuff, which is to get everything set up now to really to do this. So step five is you start outlining the plan. And then step six is once you got a little bit of that plan outlined, and then step five, you don't have to have, you know, you don't have to know exactly how you're going to do this. If you're starting a restaurant, for example, you don't have to know where the building is or, you know, this kind of equipment that you got to use. You don't need to know every single detail. This is just a pretty basic plan. And then step six is once you got some of those basic steps, make some small tiny steps. And for me, this would have been looking into the website stuff that I told you about. Like a friend of mine is starting a barbecue business. So the first step for him was to start doing some catering on the side, and that's what he's doing now. And so let's just take one small step and get your feet in the water and see how the water feels. And then step seven is tie up loose ends. And this is really when you're going to start getting this plan down. You have a good idea now what you want to do. You've written down some major steps. You've taken those first moves. So tying up loose ends is just about really putting a plan in place to really make this change. And step eight is to make the change, whatever that is. And then once you make the change, step nine is then to pay it forward. Once you've gotten to this place of success and you made this change, and you know, if you go back and you help somebody else along the way in your life that maybe was where you were, or it could be a complete stranger. You know, I don't know who it is, but just go and help somebody. And if we are all willing to pay it forward like that and help people out and that were where we were, then that's when we start seeing real change in this world. And so those are the 9 steps really briefly.
I am trying to find the unmute button on my phone because I was coughing. I suck with technology. Which step do you think people find the most challenging to do?
I would probably say getting rid of the negative, because there's just so many things in our life that we like, that we're comfortable with, and it's really hard to get rid of those things, and especially if you're talking about letting some people go from your life, even if it's for a little bit, it's just really hard.
Wow. Especially if they're family members and significant others, and
The problem is that we already have a lot of doubt and fear in our mind. Right. We don't need somebody else like echoing that out loud, because that just makes it seem just 100 times harder than to really move forward.
I agree. What would be some tools you would tell people to use in order to identify their dreams? So you talked about that being your first step. Well, how would you say people go about doing that?
I think the most important thing in identifying your dreams is figuring things out about yourself, the things that you like, the things that you don't like, maybe some of the, I don't want to say necessarily the skills that you have, because that's very misleading, but maybe some of the things that you're good at, and things that you probably don't realize that you're good at because you just do them. But just figuring out yourself, once you figure out yourself and a lot of things about yourself, then you can kind of figure out, how does this dream tie into who I am?
Yeah. And, I, you know, one thing I like in that chapter of your book, Kamanzi, when you're talking about identifying your dreams, and you encourage, you share with me your own personal stories, but then you encourage us to make sure that we're making these changes gradually. And I know you used an example there in terms of fitness. You talked about your own weight loss experiences and how you went about it probably the wrong way, you know, super fast, trying to get those changes done. But you said something that stood out to me. You said that you went through it so fast, you had great results, you know, what most people would consider to be great results, lost an amazing amount of weight, but you did it so fast that you missed a part of the process and you missed some very valuable lessons along the way. And so many of us do that, not only in the area of fitness, but when you think about our lives in general, whether it's raising our children, being stuck in a job where we're working nonstop, we're up from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning doing work that we should not be doing at that time because we should be in bed, but we're up working, that we're missing out on so much because now it's the next day and we can't even be excited about the next day because we're exhausted. You talked about how you would be cranky. And so you had to learn how to do things gradually. I think that was an important part for you to show because we spend so much time in the fast lane and we miss so much. We miss things that happen with our children. We miss things happening with our mates or our spouses, maybe things going on with our parents. We just miss so much of life because we're trying to get there so fast. So I think it's important to really, you know, explain that part and really make sure that people understand, even in this process in terms of just identifying your dreams and coming up with this plan, even starting to read this book, it has to be a gradual process. Change has to be gradual. And don't expect change to come overnight because there's so many small lessons. There's those little, what I call those in-between lessons that you get in between the lines of the chapters of the book, right?
Absolutely, and you said it really well. I'm going to have to hire you to be my spokesman. And people are like, well, how did you go from not selling books to selling 80,000 books overnight? And it's like, it's not overnight. This has been the last 3 years, you know. So, it, like you said, it just takes time.
Definitely. And then you talk about just making sure that you're enjoying the journey along the way and reaching out for support to other people. So when you're talking about reaching out for support, give us some examples of that. Like, where should we look to for support? Because you talked about in one chapter, you're talking about getting rid of negative people in your life. So where are some places we can go to for support?
Yeah, one thing that I definitely advocate is even before you start this journey is that you set up your support team, so to speak. So that could be a really good friend. Like, maybe it might be you two ladies, or a close family member, but that one person in your life where you could come and talk to them and you can just say, hey, this is what I'm doing, and they won't get negative on you, but also that they will be real with you. Like, they're not just going to be your cheerleader, like, yeah, if you're doing something and it's a little bit out of whack or you're taking shortcuts or whatever, that they're willing to call you out on it and say, hey, this is not your best. And for me, it was my brother and two other friends were my support team, and we had every day we had talked about all these things that we wanted to do, and mm-hmm. one of us would do it, and we would encourage a person or when one of us would take a shortcut, you know, or do it too fast or just start complaining and all that, then the other ones would call that person out. And it was good just to really have that system to keep motivating us each to push forward. And now all of us are to the point where, you know, we're right there. So, yeah, definitely, I don't know who it is in your life, but, you know, there's that one person that's there for you, or it might be multiple people. Just reach out to them, tell them this is what I want to do, and they're gonna be there for you.
Definitely, having those accountability partners. People wonder why I keep Juanita around as mean as she is to me, but she's one of those accountability partners that I can always count on to be truthful. So, I'm just joking.
You're a sadomasochist.
None of us can do it alone. You know, it's always good to have somebody to lean on and to go there with us.
Yeah, definitely. See, I got to be strong for you to lean on me. Lean on me.
Don't encourage her. But yes, I do love that piece, and I agree. It is important to have those accountability partners, and we do talk about that quite often on the show when we talk about these processes and these experiences we have, just to make sure you have someone there that's kind of, you know, kicking you in the butt, but also being there to be a sounding board for you, but not necessarily take that negativity ride with you, you know, cheerleading like, yeah, you know, some people can just kind of cheer you in the wrong direction. So it's good to have those people that'll say, okay, you've had your moment, you've vented, you've cried, you've done all this stuff, now it's time to get back on track, it's time to refocus. And so I definitely appreciate that. Now, when you talk about the getting fit piece, I have to be honest, you kind of slapped me in my face when I was reading the book. Going through the pages, and at the beginning, I mean, just straight out the gate, you talk about some language, and you talk about, you know, people say certain things. And so you gave some examples of things people say when they're only existing, and then you said some examples of things people say when they're actually living. And there was a part where on the living you said, I had the best workout today, and I felt like I could go another 30 minutes. And I was like, okay, really? Come on. Be like, I did not do my workout today. I was already feeling bad about myself sitting here eating chocolate. And then you just slapped me, like, in the first pages of the book. So when you're speaking about the get fit piece, I just have to say, I have to just be honest and warn the listeners, just be prepared, because he really did just kind of slap me in the face with that. But I think it is a necessary piece to cover. And for me to feel like you slapped me in the face means that's an area where I need to have a mind shift at this point. I've started this new workout plan, and then today just I'm back eating chocolate and working and just totally missed it and dropped the ball today. So I appreciate you checking me today, Coach. Coach Kamanzi.
And Stacey will tell you, the book tells you that it's not just a race, it's a marathon. So it's something that you battle and you struggle with, and maybe you don't do so good one day, but there's always another day to get back up and keep fighting. And as Stacey alluded to, you know, I lost 132 pounds in like a 4 to 5 month period. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I lost a lot of weight.
Wow.
Really, I didn't learn any lessons at all while I was doing it, and then of course the weight ended up coming back up. And so then now it's a battle again to go back and to lose that weight. That's a battle that, you know, that I'm working on and doing well on right now, except I'm doing it the right way. But you know, right. There's days when I have that chocolate cake, because I have a really bad sweet tooth, so the chocolate cake wins sometimes. But, you know, I feel bad for that second. I say, you know what, I'm going to hit it harder tomorrow, and then I go there tomorrow and hit it harder.
Definitely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita Sista, Big Bones Warren. And tonight we're joined by Mr. Kamanzi Constable talking about his latest book that's going to be coming out on the 1st, actually. And it's Are You Living or Existing? And Nine Steps to Change Your Life is what he's sharing with us tonight. Now, one I know that people are going to be curious about, that we're going to want to hear more about, is Fixing your money. Yes. What are some of the tips that you provide in that chapter of the book, Fixing Your Money?
Well, it starts with eliminating debt, and this is, you know, this is just going to take a long time. I'm just going to say it. But doing some small things to set yourself up first, like I would say a lot of people probably don't have an emergency fund, and I just think that's crazy talk. And I was guilty of it, so I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm Mr. Perfect. But even if you're in a rough financial position, even if you take just, you know, $5 from your paycheck, but just take something and put it aside somewhere and don't touch it, do the automatic withdrawal or whatever it is that you got to do to make sure you don't touch that money, please start emergency fund today. Please do that, because life, things happen in life, and you need something to fall back on. And so that's the one thing that I would strongly encourage is start an emergency fund. And so once you get that emergency fund going, then it's just about, it's about making some tough choices. Like, do you really need, and I'm just going to say this, do you really need cable television? We don't have cable television in our house. Do you really need it? You know, and I don't know, I can't answer that for you. Or, you know, what is it in your life that if you're in a rough financial position or a little bit harder one, you got to cut back. And I don't know what it is in your life, but you got to figure out some things to cut back on, cut back on those. And it might not be forever. You know, it just might be for just a short period of time, a short-term sacrifice for a longer-term gain. But cut those things back. If you can pick up any extra work where you are, or maybe even do like side jobs. Like I saw a family in my neighborhood this past summer, their whole family was going up and down the block cutting grass. And they had about 3 lawnmowers, and it was an entire family. They were just cutting grass. And I asked the father, I'm like, so what's the deal here? And he's like, oh, we're really trying to eliminate debt. And so we're just trying to earn extra money. And I thought, wow, that is just amazing. So it might be picking up some extra work, cutting back on things in your life that maybe you don't need at this point, and just keep doing that. And over time, as you're making more money, you're spending less money, you're putting that emergency fund away, you're going to be in a very, very, a lot better financial position.
Wow. I hope Stacey took notes, because she need to let that Starbucks coffee habit go that she has.
See, you didn't even have to go there. I have done a lot better with Starbucks.
Right. You're the one talking about me staying up till 7 o'clock in the morning working.
Oh, I didn't even talk about, did I talk about her commodity? Did I say that Juanita did anything? Oh, my gosh. I don't think I
called
you out.
I knew you were talking about. I knew my feet were being stepped on.
I was just saying, it came from a place of love.
And just realize that, you know, this is not going to be things that you're going to do in 1 week. Like, you're going to cut all this out of your life in 1 week and this and that. You know, it's just, it takes time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It takes time. All right. So let me see. I had a couple of more that I wanted to hear about. Sis, did you have any questions you wanted to ask in terms of anything else that stood out to you? Because I know we're coming up to the end. We have to wrap up soon.
The pay it forward piece, mm-hmm. That was your last step that you shared on, it was step 9. How has that been one for you, and how do you recommend others doing it?
Step 9?
Yes.
Paying it forward? Really, the first place you probably look is somebody in your life that, you know, that one person that's struggling or that's tried, or maybe it's even a family member. But I would start in your life, if there's that one person that you kind of mentor, help along the way, or maybe just, you know, give them some advice, I would start there. And, you know, that's a little bit of a harder conversation sometimes, but as long as they see that you're coming from a place of love, just show them, hey, I'm here for you. This is what I've done in my life, and I'd like to help you, you know, reach your goals. And then once, if you go beyond that person in your life that you know, you start focusing on the bigger mission. And, you know, not everybody's going to be called to be like a writer or speaker or anything like that. But if that is your calling, you know, use that voice to and share it with the world and really connect with people all over the world.
Wow. How have you paid it forward?
I do that in my writing and in my speaking. You know, I write a blog, I write twice a week, and I just try to share everything there. Like, I don't hold anything back at all. I just try to be honest, and I try, and everything that I write, I try to write from the perspective of how could this help somebody, and what could they take away from this. You know, I want to give them things they could take away every time. And then speaking was something I started doing last year. And since last year, I've spoken in 11 states now and in 6 countries. And, you know, I've spoken all over the world. And in February, I was speaking at a conference in Jerusalem in Israel. So, you know, I'm kind of there. But just go out there and tell people, hey, this is possible. You can do this. You can do this. Just put a plan together and let's start doing this. And so that's how I'm going out there and spreading the message. And if anybody ever emails me or calls me and says, hey, I need help with this, I'm always willing to help. I always respond to those emails. I'm not going to say, you know, hey, this is how much my coaching is. It's not like that at all. You ask me, I'll answer.
Awesome.
So when you're out speaking, Kamanzi, you talked about, you know, traveling to different countries and so forth. What are some of the feedback that you're getting back from people as you share this message?
They're starting to see that it is more possible. Whenever I talk, I have people email me. They're like, you know what? I know it in my head, but now I'm really starting to see it and really starting to believe it in my heart. You know, what is the first thing I can do? And just that simple, and just we start talking about the first steps.
Right. Well, I mean, I definitely encourage people to go out and get this book. And like I said, I just, you know, started to scan through it and just kind of look at some of the highlights in each chapter, and it definitely held my attention. And I know the last piece, because before we close out, you know, just kind of looking, fast-forwarding to the end, you do start to, there's a part in the book where you really discuss doubt. And I like that you did that, because you made it clear that, you know, the steps that you're sharing applies to so many different areas, but that there has to be, you have to be honest with yourself and know that there's this silent enemy, as you call it. And you said doubt is that silent enemy. And that's the first step, is to watch out for that step, for that enemy, basically. And you provided 3 tools to help people fight doubt. First, you talked about proper planning, just making sure that you're using a plan. And we've heard many quotes and so forth about planning, and, you know, you have to, if you don't plan, what is it? I'm getting lost right now. I'm getting tongue-tied right now. If you don't have a plan, you plan to fail. You know,
yep.
We've heard those kind of quotes and so forth. So you talked about the importance of proper planning to help overcome that enemy of doubt, which is sure to come at some point, but we can fight it with having a plan in place and making sure that we're sticking to that plan and trusting that plan. You talked about trust. I think that's key, is making sure that we not only have something that we're going by, but that we actually trust and believe that this plan is solid, that we can make this happen. And then you talked about not listening to people who are negative. And I know you've already discussed that, about just basically clearing those people out of our circle. And that's like a consistent message. We've had quite a few speakers come on from business as well as personal development, even in the last quarter. And it seems like there's a consensus. We had our brother on here, the motivational minister, Mr. Billy Miller, and he talked about being created to make a difference. And then we had LaShawn McCrary on here discussing her new book. And there is this consensus that we have to make sure that we're consistent about not listening, and we're committed to make sure that we remove negative people out of our lives and that we don't entertain the negativity that comes out of their mouth. And then finally, you talked about taking action. And this is a piece that really stands at the premise of what Mindshift Talk Radio is about. As I said at the opening of the show, you know, we have to be open to the mind shift, to thinking differently, acting differently, and we have to make the commitment to move and to implement these things. You've shared so much in this brief hour about your own personal story. You've discussed your book. In your book, it truly is, I consider your book to be an action guide that anyone can pick up today, well, not today, May 1st, can pick up a copy of this book. And if you've never done any of this before, if this is totally new to you in terms of really living on purpose and being committed to your own goals and your dreams, and you pick this book up, it truly is one of those books that acts as a roadmap. It gives you the step-by-step plan of action that you can take to achieve your life, and as Kamanzi says, to stop just existing, but to actually live your life. And you talk about that even in your opening piece of your book. You talk about how, you know, it's God's will for us to be happy. It's God's will for us to live a purposeful life. We're not supposed to just exist. So I love the fact that you even started there, and because that built the foundation for the rest of your book. You know, first helping us to identify that piece, that we are meant to live better lives. We're meant to be happy. Life doesn't have to be so hard. It doesn't have to be miserable. Yes, there's some challenges, but we can still enjoy the experience. As you talk about just taking time and gradually going through the process and being open, you know, to the valuable lessons that come throughout this journey. So I definitely thank you, Kamanzi, for being here. I know I've said so much, but that's because I do enjoy the book. I enjoy what you've done here, and I commend you and applaud you for all your success and for being committed, you and your wife, to your own plan to move forward and to truly live your life, going to Hawaii and doing all that fantastic stuff you talked about in the book. So kudos to you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just amazing what's happened in the last 3 years.
Right. So, you know, just go ahead and let the listeners know. Like I said, the book is coming out. Let them know where they can get a copy of the book. If you have anything else coming up, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can find me at KamanziConstable.com. You can Google it and probably get pretty close. Or the spelling is KimanziConstable. And as you said, May 1st, the book comes out. But actually, where I live here in Milwaukee, about a week ago, I walked into a Barnes & Noble's, and I was shocked to see the book right there on the shelf already, and I was like, whoa.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Wow.
You didn't even know you were already making money. Look at that.
Well, it was the coolest part of this whole journey was to take me and my little brother, to take our my 87-year-old grandpa, who doesn't touch e-books, to take him into Barnes & Noble's, and he bought a copy, and he's holding the book, and he looked at me and just started crying. And so that was the highlight of the journey for me. So, yeah, May 1st, the book releases nationwide. It releases nationwide in Books A Million, Barnes & Noble's, Target's, wherever books are sold, you can find the book. And, of course, you can find it online on my website and on Amazon, of course. So, yeah, just wherever books are sold, you can find it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here, and thank you to all of you that have tuned in tonight. This is obviously one of those messages that you want to share, one of these replays that you want to share with your friends and family members. You know, we encourage you to go back to the website, mindshifttalkradio.com. You want to listen to this replay, download it to your iPod, MP3 player, your Android, whatever you're listening to, and make sure that you're connected to us, that you're plugged in every Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific for Mindshift Talk Radio. Again, thank you to our special guest tonight, Mr. Kamanzi Constable. Make sure you connect with him online as well as at Facebook.com. Sister Big Bone, it has been a pleasure as always.
Pleasure's all mine as usual.
Thanks for hanging in there with me tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely. And as always, we wish you guys another phenomenal, blessed, and amazing week. Make sure that you're productive. Make sure that you're staying open to having a mind shift, and make sure you're spreading the love with all your friends and family members and even the people that you don't care so much for at work. It's all right. You still got to spread the love. So we look forward to seeing you guys in the chat room next week. Make sure that you're here. MindShiftTalkRadio.com. You guys be blessed. Good night.
God bless you. Good night.
Mind Shift Radio.